Welcome to Madison and the World Dairy Expo. We're going to learn about what is being done to change up promotion of dairy products in the U.S. and around the world. And we're going to hear what the biggest promoter of climate smart farming practices thinks about the administration's investment in the effort.
Live from fabulous Madison, Wisconsin, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll begin with a conversation with USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. Then it's a chat with Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk, and later, Audrey Donahue. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Glory.
All right, Davis, man, welcome to the World Dairy Expo here in Madison. And a big thank you to Dairy Management, Inc., DMI, for making it possible to bring you coverage from the World Dairy Expo here in Madison. Good stuff. You know what, Davis?
What, Chip?
I'm embarrassed to say this.
Oh, no. Don't start with something embarrassing right away.
It's been a busy morning here in Madison.
Okay.
And the only dairy thing that I've done so far is just like a carton of milk.
I should
be deep into ice cream. I should be deep into the cheese curds, into the grilled cheese sandwiches. I mean, it should all be happening by now. And carton of milk.
You know what? It's early in the day yet. There's plenty of time.
Plenty of daylight
left to do all that stuff.
And there is time between the shows. So you know what I'll be doing. I'm going to be taking it all in. No question about it. All right. We have got Secretary Vilsack going to be on the phone with us here in the next segment. Looking forward to the conversation with Secretary Vilsack. And we're going to learn a lot about what is going on in the world of dairy today. So let's go ahead and get started. What you got in the news?
Well, Chip, a United Nations agency said Monday the Federal Reserve and other central banks risk pushing the global economy into recession, followed by prolonged stagnation if they continue raising interest rates. The warning comes amid growing unease about the haste with which the Fed and its counterparts are raising borrowing costs to contain surging inflation. The UN agency called the Fed's actions an imprudent gamble with the lives of those less fortunate. Chip.
Yeah, slow or no growth with rising costs. That's a terrible combination. Nobody wants to see it, and I've said it on the show before. I'm concerned that might be where we're heading.
The International Energy Agency predicted global gas markets will remain tight next year despite gas demand falling in Europe in response to high prices and energy-saving measures. The IEA has predicted EU gas storage would be less than 20% full in February if LNG supply remains robust. If Russian supply to Europe completely stops from November 1, but could go as low as 5% full by February, if that liquid natural gas supply dwindles.
Man, I tell you what, even 20% full in February, isn't that about the same as being out?
Yeah, it's not enough.
That's not enough.
Wall Street is more than 6 months into a bear market that has taken stocks down about 25%, raising the question of whether this is an inflection point. The Goldman Sachs sentiment indicator came in negative for a near record 31st straight week. You know, good thing we're not in a recession or anything, Chip.
I know it. I don't know how it hasn't been labeled yet, but is what it is.
Well, on Friday, Vladimir Putin claimed America had set a precedent by dropping atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Oh, man.
For the most part, President Biden's administration has responded by warning Putin of catastrophic but unspecified consequences if he uses nuclear weapons.
How about the precedent being set in the last 70 years when one hasn't been dropped?
Well, lawyers yesterday tried to challenge the scope of the Clean Water Act, which could limit how much the EPA can protect U.S. waterways. Several Supreme Court justices sought a compromise that would retain the government's authority to regulate wetlands adjacent to lakes, rivers, and other waterways.
Yeah, so far, what the reporting on it has been murky, and I hate to use that word, but there's not much clarity on what the decision has been at this point.
Well, in other Supreme Court news, the Supreme Court today will take up a case that will determine tech companies' degree of legal liability for content that creators publish on platforms. At the heart of the matter, Chip, is to what extent tech companies can be held legally liable for the content that is published on its platforms. Chip.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Davis. Stay right there. We are going to continue our coverage from the World Dairy Expo right now as we make time for this industry spotlight. And joining us now is Audrey Donahoe. She is a New York dairy farmer and a DMI board member. Audrey, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. Thank you.
Here it is, World Dairy Expo.
I know.
It's off and running. Man, oh man, I tell you, a lot of youth walking around.
I see that, yes.
And it's important to get the dairy message out to the youth of America. How are you doing that?
Yeah, absolutely, Chip. So, you know, we've kind of changed our ways with not so much advertising anymore, but we're reaching out to this generation like you see walking around here today, the Gen Z.
Yep.
You know, we have a different information pipeline that we address as far as communicating and reaching out to them. They're 20% of our population, and yeah. I think about 15 of them are here today, 15%, right? They have a spending power of $100 billion. Imagine buying that many dairy and dairy products. Wow, great for me as a dairy farmer, right? And
Absolutely.
All the other dairy farmers. Yeah.
It's a market that cannot be ignored.
Exactly. You know, and beyond that, the influence they have on their parents and what their parents buy. I have two Gen Z kids at home, mm-hmm. and they have a lot of influence and power over what I buy.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, yeah, you know, it's just that generation is what we're kind of reaching out to right now. You know, and it's very important because 9 out of 10 of these Gen Zs are on their phone. They're gaming on their computers, their games. They're gaming or they're watching games.
Right.
That's 9 out of 10. That's huge.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So that's how we're reaching out to them. That's what we're doing right now with our advertising.
Yep.
We have kind of gone from the traditional news on TV and the newspaper that you and I probably still do read that way, and we do see commercials that way.
Exactly. So, to a dairy producer that is out there that isn't seeing it in the traditional publications or on traditional radio, mm-hmm. the targeting of the Gen Z, it's still happening. It's just happening in a format that they might not see.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah. And, you know, we don't see it, but we don't need to sell ourselves milk. We know the value of the product we're producing. These Gen Z, this generation, they're so far removed from agriculture. Yeah. We need to reach out to them. We need to tell them what we do on our farms. They're very, very intelligent kids, people.
Yes. And they're curious as heck.
Oh, yeah. And what do? They go to their phone, their computer. Yeah. They want the information. That's where we need to be. We need to be sharing our story, answering our questions. It needs to come from us. Yep. It can't come from other people because it's not always the right story that's being told.
Right.
So, yes, we absolutely need to be there to make sure that they're getting the right information from the right source.
What you just described to me, Audrey, is why influencers work.
Right.
It's because they pique the curiosity of those that you are trying to reach. And it's really spectacular. It's good work by DMI. And Audrey, we're going to get to the details of all of this at the end of the show because there is some really, really exciting things that you guys are doing to reach Gen Z out there. It's really cool. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again later.
Okay, thank you, Chip.
All right, that is Audrey. We will get to the details later. We'll be back from WDE in a moment.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Rumensin. Rumensin's quality, consistency, and efficiency make it the right choice for your cattle operation. Rumensin, trusted by generations.
$100 billion. That's the annual spending power of Gen Z. And your checkoff is connecting with them through TikTok, Instagram, Twitch, and more.
The checkoff needs to be active in these Gen Z-focused spaces because Gen Z is the future. And if we don't reach out to them, we might become obsolete. I'm Ashley Kennedy, and my husband Eric and I farm just outside of Bad Axe, Michigan.
Go to usdairy.com/4-farmers/blog to see how we're making every drop count.
When you hear the name Rumensin, you can trust you're getting more than a quality feed ingredient. With a team of dedicated experts offering a full portfolio of services, Rumensin helps you improve your operation's efficiency and sustainability year after year. Rumensin, the pioneer proudly made in the USA, is one of the most tested, researched, and trusted feed additives on the market. Choose proven quality. Choose consistent results. Choose Rumensin. Learn more at trustedbygenerations.com.
It came on a night like any other. With power unlike anything else on Earth. Using beyond advanced active ingredients like bicyclopyrone, Acuron GT post-emergence corn herbicide is here to annihilate tough weeds. Advanced technology, enhanced control. Talk to your Syngenta retailer about Acuron GT. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA. Join me every week on the Farm CPA podcast by Top Producer for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implementations, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Farm CPA podcast by Top Producer, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We are live at the World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks to DMI for making our coverage of the World Dairy Expo possible. And joining us on the phone right now is USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. Secretary Vilsack, welcome back to AgriTalk.
Hey, Chip. It's good to visit with you. It's good that you're at the expo.
Yeah.
Where we now have the highest dairy consumption in the history of the United States this year. Good
yes.
news for the dairy producers.
Yes. Just to remind everyone, between Vilsack 1.0 and 2.0, the Secretary served as CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export. And Secretary Vilsack, the promotion of dairy products around the world is important, but how was dairy featured at the White House Conference on Hunger, Nutrition, and Health last week?
Well, Chip, it's, as folks like to say, it's nature's perfect food.
Yeah.
Nine essential minerals and vitamins. It's an opportunity, I think, for us to continue to look for ways in which we can make a nutritious food more accessible and more affordable for folks. I mean, that's the key right now. We want to make sure that people are fed, and certainly dairy protein is one very important component of a healthy diet, as reflected in the My Plate initiative at USDA, where we basically showcase what a good plate looks like, and that obviously includes dairy as well.
Yeah. How effective has that My Plate promotion been? I saw it. It looks great. And is it having an impact out there, do you think?
Well, I think it is. I think it makes it easier for people to understand exactly what a healthy plate looks like. It's certainly less complicated than the food permit. It basically mm-hmm. says, look, half your plate, fruits and vegetables, the other half carbs and protein, and with a side of dairy. Basically, I think it's a way for families that are busy. We need to continue to look for ways, Chip, in which we can empower people with information so they can make the best choices for their families. And part of what the White House conference focused on was the necessity of making this information easy to digest, easy to understand, and available.
Yes, absolutely. Let's stay on dairy here for a moment longer if we can. The margin protection program seems to be very popular. The question that I keep getting from producers is, when we get to the farm bill, is that something that's going to be in there? Or is it something that's going to be promoted again?
Well, I think that we've made a lot of changes and a lot of improvements to that program.
Yes.
I think we've learned that it works for folks and works for a significant number of folks. So what I would anticipate and expect that there wouldn't be any effort to try to change it. There may be some modifications and some things on the margins that need to be looked at, but the guts of the program seems to be working, and obviously you want to keep us working and make it work better.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we've got some good dairy prices out there right now. I've talked with a few producers here already, and we talk about expansion or the lack of expansion in the dairy industry right now. I think it's being held back by the high input costs that we're looking at, for one thing. But we've got demand. You said it. It's the biggest domestic demand that we've ever had is happening this year. That's nothing but good thing for the nutrition of here in the U.S. and for demand here for our product. Now, at last week's National Association of State Departments of Agriculture at the annual meeting, you talked about the details of a program to encourage domestic production of fertilizer. $500 million investment. What's been the reaction, and what's the timeline on when we might expect to see some results of that investment?
Well, Chip, we basically divided the application process into two separate applications. The first application period is 45 days, and that application is designed for projects that can provide potential impact on fertilizer availability crop year 2023, crop year 2024. So that's more immediate. Then we expect and anticipate there are going to be projects that will take a little bit longer. So we have a 90-day window for those applications. So our expectation is that we're going to get projects in both windows and that we're going to basically put those resources to work as quickly as possible to get more domestic production of fertilizer, less reliance on countries that are providing us the fertilizer and providing us the essential elements of fertilizer that may not agree with us. So we want to be more reliant, self-reliant, and I think this is a significant effort on the part of the administration to understand that, yes, we understand how difficult the input issue is, and we're trying to do something about it. We're doing a lot in this area. I think you're going to see some information about seed technology coming out of this administration as well, because I think there is a reason for folks to be expressing concerns about whether they're getting a fair shake in the market.
Okay. What about the fertilizer tariffs on some of the imports that we're bringing in? Any movement on getting those removed?
Well, there's a continued conversation about that, but, those are, frankly, there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation out there. Our Russian friends are trying to suggest that we've sanctioned fertilizer, that we're making it more difficult. That's not true. There are no sanctions against fertilizer. There are a couple of countries, obviously, that have where there's been an assessment, but that's been primarily designed to provide protection for our domestic industry. So, if you release the tariffs, then in theory, you may adversely impact the ability to produce it in the United States, which at the end of the day, I think is something that we want to continue to support, which is U.S.-made produced.
Yes, absolutely. I'm all with you there. And speaking of U.S.-made, any word on the Mosaic phosphate production facility down in Florida? Have you had a briefing if that facility will be able to ship product this fall? Good.
The good news is that they dodged more significant damage. There was a bit of disruption, but not something that's going to significantly impact supply in the U.S., which is obviously good news.
Excellent.
Unfortunately, that's not the case for so many people down in Florida, and our hearts and prayers go out to all those folks who have lost their homes and loved ones as a result of a horrific storm.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's good news on the fertilizer front. The Climate Smart Farming Initiatives, and in full disclosure, Farm Journal is a recipient of one of the partnerships through Trust in Food. It's a $2.8 billion investment in a wide-ranging and diverse group of projects. What's your initial thoughts on the efforts?
Well, it's always a good idea to listen to farmers. In setting this process up, we listened to farmers. We said, how would you think it should be set up? We followed their instructions. They said it should be farmer-led. It should be partnerships. It should be incentive-driven. It should be market-oriented. It should be voluntary. And we've done all of that. And the response, obviously, phenomenal. We expect and anticipate over 50,000 farmers across the country in all 50 states will participate. Every commodity group, for all intents and purposes, is engaged. Some really interesting technology. There's going to be measurement. There's going to be verification. We're going to learn a lot from this. It's going to allow the U.S. to take a leadership position internationally on these issues of climate. It's going to make it easier for us to market our products overseas as being sustainably produced. All good. Another set of announcements coming in later this month with a smaller grant program. So we'll add to that total.
Gotcha. $2.8 billion. It comes from the Commodity Credit Corporation, and some, most notably, Representative Glenn Thompson, the ranking member of the House Ag Committee, is giving you some criticism for using the CCC funds. He would rather see it be part of a revolutionary conservation title in the Farm Bill rather than using the funds from the CCC. What's your reaction to that?
Well, again, we listened to the farmers. There was a coalition of 80 organizations, major farm groups, including Farm Bureau, National Farmers Union, most of the commodity groups, who essentially said, look, to start this, use CCC. Learn how to walk before you run. Then we can incorporate it into the normal programs at USDA. And the Inflation Reduction Act, a historic amount of investment in conservation, gives us a great platform in which to feed in best practices that we learn from this. So with all due respect to Representative Thompson, I think we listened to farmers. Farmers told us what to do. And I think the reaction that we got with over 1,000 applications indicates that perhaps it was a good idea to listen to farmers and use the CCC in this initial effort.
All right, very good. Well, I'm here at Madison, as I said at the start of the segment. Any tips on what I should be heading for and taking advantage of while I'm here?
Well, you better be eating some Wisconsin cheese while you're up here.
You know I will be.
And I'm sure you're going to find an opportunity for a milkshake or two.
Ice cream is standing by. As a matter of fact, they're handing it to me right now, Secretary Vilsack. So I'm going to have to say goodbye, but thank you so much for making time for AgriTalk.
All right, Chip, take it easy.
You bet. That is USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk is up next right here on AgriTalk.
Expert farm marketing advice, proprietary research, market insight. Since 1987, Ag Resource has been providing an unmatched understanding of ag markets, helping farmers to maximize their profits and minimize their risk. With global offices in Chicago and Brazil, our experienced team is here to be your trusted partner in navigating the volatility of today's ag markets. Receive Ag Resource commentary on the go with the Ag Resource mobile app or visit us at agresource.com to take a trial today.
Registration for the 2023 Top Producer Summit is open. Join fellow farmers and great speakers in Nashville, Tennessee, January 23rd through the 25th. Take a few days away from the farm to discover business opportunities, gain invaluable insights, and increase your competitive advantage. The event is the perfect combination of business education, networking, and fun, including a night out on the town at Johnny Cash's Bar. For more information and to register, visit tpsummit.com.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beej, I look at the grain markets, corn, soybeans moving to the upside. We've even got the products participating in the rally. What's going on today?
Yeah, pretty broad-based, Chip. It's a risk-on day when we look across much every one of the markets. We've got the stock market posting strong gains. The dollar index is under heavy pressure. Crude oil is trading sharply to the upside, and that's spilling over into the corn and soy complex. the wheat market, you know, we've got some pressure on SRW futures. They traded higher earlier on, but they're now weaker. But the HRW contracts are firmer and kind of a mixed tone in spring wheat. So the wheat market's really the outlier within the grain and soy complex.
Yes, certainly is. You know, the equity's moving as sharply higher as they are today. That doesn't seem to be having much impact on livestock trade today.
No, the other outlier that I was going to mention is the livestock markets. You know, just pretty quiet, to be honest with you, but with a weaker tone. And that's somewhat surprising given that outside market strength that we are seeing, because it is pretty broad-based, like I mentioned. Feeder cattle trading to the downside, that's probably not too much of a surprise given the strength in the corn market. But live cattle, you know, I guess they're waiting on cash trade to develop, and as a result, just drifting a little bit lower. The hog market's disappointing because... You know, that one gave some indications that maybe we'd posted a short-term low, and maybe we still have, but it needs to get up and go here and really lagging so far here at mid-morning.
Yeah, it certainly is. And some good news for the cotton producers, sharply higher in the Dece and March contracts this morning. Good stuff, Brian. Thank you so much. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. He sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself.
For many military veteran caregivers, their caregiving journey starts earlier in life and lasts longer. Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and Madison, Wisconsin for the World Dairy Expo. Thank you so much to DMI for making it possible for us to bring you coverage from the World Dairy Expo. And again, thank you to Secretary Vilsack for making time for us this morning. All right, Karen Bohnert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk, joins us right now. Karen, we're here.
We're here. We've been talking about this for quite some time, Chip. Yep. It's like a family reunion, like I told you.
Yeah.
And there's so much going on. For me, the week ahead is extremely busy. I have a lot of meetings throughout the week with various companies. And really, it's an opportunity to sit down with these companies and ask them, okay, what's this past year been like for you?
Right.
And what goals are you looking to establish in 2023? But truthfully, probably the one of the most exciting opportunities I have is a sit-down interview tomorrow.
Yes.
With Kristen Harden, the CEO of U.S. Dairy Export Council. And so I'm obviously very excited about that opportunity. And I want to learn more about the priorities that have been established since she's been in this role for about 2 years now.
Yeah.
She just got back from Chile. I don't know if you knew that.
Didn't.
But USDEC took a group of U.S. farmers, dairy farmers there. So I'm interested to learn about the mission and future goals established from that.
Yeah.
Of course, I think dairy farmers want to know about the general dairy export condition and what year-over-year growth looks like, and what opportunities need to be further established. So, as you can tell, the energy is very much alive here.
Oh, yeah.
I arrived late on Sunday, Chip, and I had a hard time finding a parking spot because the youth showmanship was going on, the collegiate dairy judging contest was finishing up, and it's just really exciting to see so much engagement here, especially with the youth.
You know, when you mentioned that it was the showmanship,
mm-hmm.
It's not like it was competition for the animals. It was involvement of the youth in that. I was always into showmanship when I was in 4-H, and it impresses me so much that they're here for that.
Absolutely. Well, what's even more impressive is it's hard to pick a winner because all of them are winners.
Yeah.
Everybody has put so much time and practice into it, so it's fantastic. So as I was telling you, this is all pre-COVID-like. We're back to the number of cattle are up.
Nice.
A lot of people are here, so... I get it. The weather is fantastic out in the Midwest here. But I'm going to tell you what I told my husband, and I'm going to tell everybody here, is park the tractor. You know, make your way to Madison for at least one day because you won't regret it. The networking is amazing. We all come here for the common passion, our love for the dairy industry.
Yep. Well, I'm really happy that you're going to get that sit down with Kristen tomorrow because the export side of this market is so important to everybody that's in this room.
Everything. Yeah. It'll be really interesting. I'll do a write-up for DairyHerd.com. You know that.
Yes, I do. And I got a feeling we'll probably be talking about it a week from today.
Hey, that sounds like a good
Excellent.
Plan.
Excellent, Karen. Thank you so much. That is Karen Bonert. She is the editor of Farm Journal's Milk. There's so much happening here at World Dairy Expo, including a Knowledge Nook. And one of the participants in the Knowledge Nook is AEM, the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. And joining us right now to talk about it is Austin Gellings. He is the Director of Ag Services for the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Austin, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Glad that you are here. The environmental benefits of modern dairy hay and forage production technologies. That, I mean, there's a lot packed into that title right there, Austin. What's the main topics?
There's a lot packed into that title because there's a lot packed into this study. We kind of took a look at quantifying the environmental benefits of a dairy production from start to finish, right? So looking all the way from the feed production through the milking of the cow down to the handling of the manure within the barn. And really quantifying, you know, as a result of the technologies that are incorporated, the equipment that the farmers use, what environmental gains have we seen over the last 15 years, and what environmental benefits could we see with increased adoption over the next 10 or so years?
Okay, what was the driving motivation to do this study? Was it driven by the producers? Was it the ESG? Environmental social governance issues?
I would say it's a little bit of all of the above. Okay. I think especially when you look at the technology portion of the farm, you know, everybody says a little bit, but there was never anything that you could really look at and say, hey, you know, what are we gaining from that environmental standpoint? And last year as well, AEM released the Environmental Benefits of Precision Ag study. And that study went over so well that when we stepped back and looked, hey, how can we continue with this momentum of telling the great story about what the U.S. farmer is doing, this was the next logical step.
So this study is, you know, there's the SEC potential that everybody, the companies are going to have to track it all the way back to the dairy farm and to the parlor. Is this proving that that can be done?
I think that this is proving that what we've said, we're capitalizing on that. We're doing what we said we're doing, and it paints a picture of how can we get there. You know, we have a goal within the dairy industry of being net neutral by 2050.
Right.
And this paints a picture of how do we get there, a roadmap of how do we get there.
Gotcha. So the information that's in the study, how can a dairy producer use that to improve their or decrease their footprint?
I think it really shows what technologies they can implement on their farm, and it's a nice story to tell also within their community, right? You know, the dairy industry sometimes gets hammered a little bit from that environmental standpoint, but these are some really good numbers that they can point to and say, hey, we're doing the right thing for our community, for the environment, and the place we live.
Okay, the manufacturers now, not so much the producers. How can the manufacturers use the information that's in the study to improve what they're doing?
I think it really validates what we thought about the equipment, and it's some really solid numbers we can point to for that. And it's something to build off of, right? We want to continue to get better and better. And these numbers as well is something we can point to help, you know, that small family farm. That's where we really see these gains is on those smaller family farms.
Why is that?
Because that's where it's scalable, right? When you talk about things like automation and that, it helps with the labor aspect and even, you know, the quality of life of the farmer, not having to wake up at 4 a.m. and be right there to milk the cow and, you know, have to be there right again at 4 p.m. to milk the cow. And, you know, you can take a little time away to enjoy life a little bit.
Yeah, okay. AI, artificial intelligence, it seems it's making its way into every conversation anymore. How does AI play a role in some of this technology that we're talking about?
Well, it's all data driven, right? Everything from like a robotic milker where you're using sensors and cameras to, you know, the cow walks in when she's ready to be milked, and the robotic milker goes right up there, connects the cups. You know, it milks her, and then they disengage. You have the automatic teat sprayer comes in, and she walks out, and she's good to go.
Yeah.
All the way from we have automated feeders and things like that, where we're giving the animal the right portion and not overfeeding or underfeeding. We're giving them exactly what they need, and it's all driven by the insights that we're getting from data.
Dude, you talk about this like you know this. You've got a farm background?
I do. I grew up on a farm just down in Racine. My family still farms to this day. We run about 1,000 acres, and we do livestock as well.
All right. Well, yeah. You talk like you know how this can be applied out there in the real world, and if it can't be applied in the real world, it's not worth doing.
Exactly. I mean, when we talk about sustainability, there's the economic side of it, right? It has to work from that standpoint as well, and this technology does, and so we're really showing that all around this works, and we need to do things to help foster adoption.
Okay, so when you do the Knowledge Nook, what is the primary message that you hope those in attendance take home with them today?
Overall, that the U.S. dairy farmers are doing the right thing. We're sustainable. We're going to continue to be sustainable, and that net neutral by 2050. That's not a pie in the sky goal. That's achievable, and we're doing things, and we have things already in play to get there.
Okay, more than likely, you're going to be talking to dairy producers in the Knowledge Nook. Now, talk to consumers that are listening to the show right now. What do you want those consumers to know about what is happening at the Association of Equipment Manufacturers to get to that goal of zero emissions by 2050?
That we're continuing to innovate, that we're not just resting on our morals. We're continuing to look forward. How do we continue to get better? How do we put this technology in the hands of producers so that they can produce this milk sustainably, and so that the consumer can then have trust in the fact that this milk was produced sustainably, and that the cow is better for it. When you're talking about AI and robotics, they're more comfortable. They're doing things on their own. It's a free-flowing environment.
Yeah. You've talked about more technology than the consumer probably understands that is out there on the farm, and we're really just kind of scratching the surface on what's available.
We really are, especially from the U.S. standpoint. When we talk about things like robotic milkers and that, compared to the rest of the world, we're actually pretty low on the adoption curve right now. But yet we still produce more milk than the rest of the world with a lot less cows.
Yeah.
We're producing 15% of the milk with 4% of the cows.
Yeah, and maybe most important out of all of this is, yes, it's important from an environmental standpoint. Yes, it helps to solve some of our labor issues. But if it wasn't efficient and didn't bring more profitability to the dairy, it wouldn't be adopted. So it works on several levels.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. And we always talk about if it doesn't go straight to the bottom line, especially on a dairy farm, it's probably not going to make it into the parlor.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you're working with those slim margins, you got to find ways to improve that. And if it doesn't work, nobody's going to use it. But we've proven that it does work on every level.
Yeah, that's very cool. Very cool, Austin. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is Austin Gellings. He is the Director for Agricultural Services at the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. And the level of technology that is in play on a dairy farm right now, up and down the line, is very, very impressive. And this report that the Association of Equipment Manufacturers is working with right now is going to help producers understand exactly what they can do. All right, when we come back at the World Dairy Expo, again, thanks to DMI for making it possible for us to bring you coverage. We're going to get into more of targeting Gen Z on the marketing. That's next here on AgriTalk.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, We are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
When the wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say?
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
From Kansas to Ohio, that's where you'll find Pivot Bio. From the Mississippi Delta and the Chesapeake, Nebraska and the hills of Tennessee. Proven on thousands of fields across this great land. When you work the ground till the sun goes down, Pivot Bio's got a plan. Greener plants and a healthy land use our predictable nitrogen. Wherever farmers grow, yeah, that's where we go.
A lot has changed in agriculture over the past 14 years. Ups and downs in the market, updated technology, and fluctuating input prices, to name a few. One that has remained constant? Ag Resource Management's dedication to farmers like you. Work with ARM and you can expect fast approvals, competitive rates, and some of the most experienced lenders in the business. A local ARM area manager would like to connect about their newest loan options for farm operations. If you're ready to finance differently, give them a call, 855-545-1199.
It's harvest time. Reap rewards of your labor time. Cover as many acres as possible time. Light at the end of the tunnel time. And no one helps you embrace the moment like John Deere. Putting technology in your hands that helps maximize your days, cover more ground, and reach record-breaking yields. This season, be your best in the biggest moments. Visit johndeere.com/gainground to learn more.
You always play to win, so you know power of the home field advantage. And that's exactly what you get when you choose DynaGrow Seed. With DynaGrow, you get access to hybrids and varieties tried and tested in your local area for consistent performance year over year over year. Book your seed today and get the home field advantage working for you. DynaGrow Seed. At home on any acre.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-556-9015. That's 800-556-9015. Again, 800-556-9015. That's 800-556-9015.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk
Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Yeah, Davis, just so you know, my guest is kind of looking at me like, what in the world is that? It's only our favorite bump.
It's a double nut. It's not Earth, Wind, and Fire, and it's also not September.
That's right. That's exactly right. I do want you to know also that, Davis, I can now say that I have officially partaken in the ice cream.
Well, that's really good. I think you should keep it up throughout the day. You know, consistency here with us. We'll check in with you this afternoon and see what you've come up with.
Well, and unless I'm taking a big old nap, you can guarantee that. All right, thank you to Dairy Management Inc. and the Dairy Checkoff for making it possible to bring you coverage from the World Dairy Expo. And with that in mind, let's make time for this industry spotlight. Audrey Donahoe is a New York Dairy Farmer DMI board member. And Audrey, in the first segment, we were talking about targeting Gen Z with some very specific marketing and using influencers, using gamers in particular, to get the dairy's message out to the youth. Okay? So these influencers, these spokespersons, or the voices that the Gen Z consumers are, who are you using to reach out and make contact with them?
Okay, so the biggest user we have is Mr. Beast.
Yep.
I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but
I
learned. Oh, you are? Yeah. Well, I learned quite quick about him myself, too. He has more than 100 million followers.
It's unbelievable.
That's like a third of our population.
Right.
I mean, that's just huge. So, you know, that's pretty critical to what we're doing in these efforts with the Gen Z, to have somebody with such influence that's so pro-dairy, pro-farmer, just loves what we do on our farms.
And he is one of the most generous people that I think I've seen on social media with the giveaways that he does. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. So, I mean, people follow him with a passion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was informed that by my kids, the two Gen Z kids that I have. They're like, Mom, do you know what that guy can do? I said, I'm learning about him. It's Mr. Beast.
Okay, so how do you use him? There was a summer checkoff program called Hack the Heat. What was that all about?
So, yeah, I mean, we work with others, too, other kind of influencers. You know, and that's partnering with chefs, comedians, lifestyle experts, you know, other influencers with a following to talk about dairy. So, you know, you talked about that summer campaign called Hack the Heat.
Yep.
We partnered with some of the funniest and most food-obsessed influencers who have well into millions of followers on channels such as TikTok, YouTube. Now we're getting to the channels where you and I listen to, where I listen to as well. So, you know, it's just kind of like a more engaging, it's more two-way all the way around when we work with the influencers like Mr. Beast and then these other food influencers because, you know, they're supporting dairy and promoting dairy, but it also enables us and gives us the opportunity to be able to interact with the participants as well that the influencers are working with.
Yeah. And the Gen Z, you said it at the start of the show, it's 20% of the population.
I know, that's amazing.
It absolutely cannot be ignored as a market for dairy products.
No, absolutely not. That's our future consumers. I mean, we need them to stay in business as far as, you know, the farmer's money is definitely being put in the right direction when it comes to communicating and trying to influence and work with this Gen Z generation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Good stuff. It's untraditional, but it's effective.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. So you serve as chair of the National Dairy Council as well. Why? Why so passionate about the checkoff's work with schools?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm very honored to serve as the National Dairy Council chair. Schools are near and dear to my heart, but they're more near and dear to farmers. Those are our future generation consumers. So these kids need to learn how to eat healthy, eat right, learn about dairy. Like you said, they're very intelligent. We need to make sure we're communicating with them, answering their questions. They want to know where their food comes from.
Yeah.
So, you know, we definitely need to be within that area of schools with kids to make sure they're eating healthy, they're exercising. We actually have a program called Fuel Up to Play 60.
Yeah.
It's in 70,000 schools nationwide. I mean, that's exciting. That's pretty awesome to be working with all those kids. You know, and it's a program that farmers developed. It's eating healthy. It's exercising. It's a whole program of, you know, a healthy kid. At the same time, we as dairy farmers are in there working with these kids.
Yep.
We're talking about dairy, the importance of them, the nutritional value of it. We're answering their questions about what we do on our farms because they're so intelligent.
Yes.
You know, and another part of that, too, I want to share with you, as long as we're we're on that. We're also working, we have a few pilots coming out with the advanced agriculture-based program called STEM curriculum. And it's science, technology, engineering, mathematics. And we're you know, because we have that relationship with Fuel Up to Play 60 and these 70,000 schools, we're now introducing this new STEM program. Any farmer I talk to is so excited about that. Who can't relate education in a child's mind to something that has to do with agriculture? They learn so much. And, it, you know, their minds are so absorbing of it. And they can, it's just so much better of an education tool for them. So
That's
we have
cool.
had some positive, great, wonderful feedback. How proud I am as a dairy farmer we're participating in that.
Yeah. I can see it in your face, Audrey. It's beautiful.
It's great.
So what about the school professionals? How do they react to the information that's being provided through that?
Well, you know, most of the school professionals are very much in favor of what we do and the programs we participate in. They're there because they want their kids to learn. And when we're using programs like that, they're learning. These kids are engaging. You know, even with the Fuel Up to Play 60, we introduce dairy and dairy products to these kids. And the teachers have said, you know, when these kids are well-fed, they have better cognitive skills. They test better. They behave better. They're getting that nutritional value that a child needs in their body. And it's the same thing with this STEM program. We're getting that kind of feedback. These kids are so engaged and so aware of what's going on. They're so learning. And, you know, so it just works great all the way around. I'll tell you, the
and
farmers.
Their parents are asking questions about where the food is coming from, so they want to know too.
Right, right. So you want to talk about an investment that's going a long way. There you go. That's an investment of farmers' money that's really taking care of the whole package. The kids learning, the kids' health, and we're educating the parents as well.
It's fantastic. Good work, Audrey.
Yeah,
good
thank
work.
You.
Thank you so much for all the information about what DMI and the Dairy Checkoff are doing to get the word out there and promote consumption of the dairy products that we're producing out there. And thank you for listening this morning. You've got to come back this afternoon. We're going to be talking dairy markets with Mike North from Ever.Ag and Robin Schmall from AgMarket.net. And tomorrow morning, Jim Mintert from Purdue University right here on AgriTalk.
$100 billion. That's the annual spending power of Gen Z. And your checkoff is connecting with them through TikTok, Instagram, Twitch, and more.
The checkoff needs to be active in these Gen Z-focused spaces because Gen Z is the future. And if we don't reach out to them, we might become obsolete. I'm Ashley Kennedy, and my husband Eric and I farm just outside of Bad Axe, Michigan.
Go to usdairy.com/4-farmers/blog to see how we're making every drop count.
It came on a night like any other, with power unlike anything else on Earth. Using beyond advanced active ingredients like bicyclopyrone, Acuron GT post-emergence corn herbicide is here to annihilate tough weeds. Advanced technology, enhanced control. Talk to your Syngenta retailer about Acuron GT. Always read and follow label instructions.